Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday, and good evening. Welcome to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. And I want to say, as I always do, the time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast, and wherever you are in the world, it's that time wherever you are in the world. I do have a world clock, but I'm not going to pull up all the different countries, but some people are listening in from other places, so thank you for joining us. This is Saturday, March the 20th, and I'm going to open up the microphones of my co-hosts and the callers momentarily, but before I do that, I want to say from my heart, thank you for all the well wishes, the birthday wishes I got yesterday. Some came belated today. It's just great, you know. It's just a good feeling to have folks take time out of their day to remember you, or better yet, happen to be going through their Facebook page and say, oh, damn, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday. Click, and just keep it moving, right? But I thank you. I thank you. You took time to press those buttons and type in the words happy birthday. I am very appreciative of all that. You guys, so thank you so much. And I'll share I had to buy myself a gift, okay? I went and bought myself a gift, and I'm going to tell you guys a story in a moment because I almost didn't get it until Monday, and I was like, that won't do. And today we have such an awesome show. I wish I had this gift before this show, but we have a great show. Our special guest today is going to be Mr. Raheem Devon. Oh, my goodness. This brother here. Wow. We're going to listen to some of his music prior to him joining us at the 6:30 hour. He's going to join us in about 30 minutes, but I'm going to play a few of his tracks, and you guys check it out. I know you've heard them before. And by the way, the song that you just heard, the new opening theme for the show, is called, believe it or not, Conversation Piece, written by Mr. Joe Foxworth, former keyboard player for Motown recording artist Ozone. They performed, and actually they had a song called Gigolette that they did with Tina Marie. Their big hit was called Strut My Thing back in the 80s. And Joe, you know, he and I have been talking, hadn't talked to Joe in a long time, and we happened to cross paths, and he said, hey, you know what? I got a track you might want to use on your show. He gave me this, and it was already titled Conversation Piece, and I was like, I love it. And so wonder what you think about it, and we'll get into that. So without further ado, let me open up the mics to our co-host. Of course, the lady of the house is here, Miss Janet Davis. Happy Saturday to you. How you doing?
I'm great. Can you hear this? Can you hear it?
Yeah,
no. You know that is. Happy birthday.
Yes, wonder. Happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's not singing. I pulled the wrong one up. I was supposed to pull the one up where he starts right off singing.
Oh, no, that's fine. I know the song. I mean, I know the groove.
Okay. Anyway, happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. Thank you, though. I truly appreciate that. Thank you so much. And it was so crazy because I got a phone call, honestly, like about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't answer. But I listened to the message. It was a happy birthday, and I'm like, well, it's 2 a.m. in the morning here. I guess it was, around 11-something, 11:30 West Coast time, because it came from the West Coast. So, but I appreciated that call. I contacted that person. So thank you to everyone. Let's see, 346-274. Cotton Campbell?
Yes,
this
is
Cotton
Campbell.
Hey,
Cotton
Campbell.
Cotton Campbell.
How are you?
Cotton Campbell.
I'll be excited.
Hello,
Michael,
hello.
Every time. I'm sorry. Happy birthday, Michael.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Did I miss the virtual party? Did I miss it?
No. You know what? I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait another year, and hopefully Corona is like gone. And, I turned 59. I'm 59 years old as of yesterday. So I thank God that I've been able to be here for 59 years. But I'm thinking, in fact, Myrtle wanted to do a virtual birthday. And I said, no, let's hold on. God blesses me to see 60. We'll do a virtual here on the show. We'll definitely do that. So, and I want to do the same thing for everybody else, for all the hosts. I hate using the term co-host, but all the other hosts, you know, every time that we're blessed to see another year, I wanted to acknowledge it. So let's keep that in mind moving forward, okay? I really want to acknowledge it. 818-516, you guys should know who this is. See, I know some of the area codes because it's not as many, but this one here, I know who this is. This is Mr. Time and Chip. What's up, Tom, and how you doing? Happy Saturday. What's happening in L.A.?
Uh-uh.
Or did I? Hello?
You sure L.A.
Are
is 818?
818? No. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm ahead of myself, see? That's my fault. That's my fault. Hold on. It's been a busy day, you guys. I'm sorry. It's just been a busy day. I got my new toy, and I'm looking forward to working with it. And
it must be a phone.
Well, that's been a problem, too. that's really been a problem with my phone. That is Timon. Timon, you there? Your mic is open. Take yourself off mute.
Oh, okay. There we go.
There
hello,
you go. I kind of figured that was you. I said, wait a minute, this got to be Timon. I know the 818-516. What's going on, brother? How's things happening, and what's going on in L.A. today?
I'm just leaving the grocery store on my way home. That's what I'm doing. I'm in the car on my way home, but happy birthday, man, and all that good stuff on this fine Saturday.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hey, while I got you on the line, I want to ask you something. This week, Southern California just opened up from the coronavirus, if you don't mind. Can you share what has been different there since the state has opened up more? Is there a lot more folks out there?
Well, one, they've ramped up all the vaccinations. So what they're doing is, you know, you got 25% capacity for indoor dining. You guys, they're opening up some of the theaters. That's going to be 25%. Everything is pretty much 25% that they're going to open up. You know, as they ramp up the vaccine, you know, more things will open. They're also going to open up the schools more. They're getting a lot of the school teachers. School teachers are getting pushed to the front of the line to get them vaccinated so they can get things going. And they're getting all the schools ready to take the kids. Some of them have already done it. But then, you know, the LAUSD union said, if you ain't got the teachers ain't getting vaccinated, we ain't coming back. You know, and, you know, you can't blame them, you know, because everybody's trying to be as, you know, cautious as possible. They found out that the kids are not as bad, but it's the adults. Like at my job at probation, you know, they said, well, the kids are coming in. No, it's not the kids bringing in COVID. It's the staff coming from wherever they came from. They're bringing in COVID. That's what they found out. So that's why they want to get everybody tested and get everybody to get their shots. I go get my second shot on the 28th, which is next Sunday. So, yeah, once they get everybody vaccinated and really get everything taken care of, you know, everybody will be back on track.
Timon, I got my second shot on Wednesday, and I was sick for 2 days behind it. I felt like I had the flu.
Right. They said that you will get, some people get chills, some people get a high fever, but it doesn't last very long. Yeah. The doctor, I watch the news pretty much every day, and they have on, in, you know, L.A., they bring on a doctor, and they ask them, hey, what about this, what about that? And they talked about, it affects people differently. Some people get a high fever. Some people don't. Some people get the chills, you know.
And
some
the sniffles.
Some people get a bad headache.
Yeah.
A what? And the sniffles.
I had the sniffles, plus I had aches and pains and fever and I thought I had the flu for 2 days.
That's your lymph nodes, and what they're saying is your lymph nodes acknowledging to your body, it's opening up to let it, you know, to say, hey, you know, to bring on that protection. So it's opening up those lymph nodes, and that's where all that, because your body didn't know anything about it, and now it's trying to accept it to protect it. What they were saying is your body protecting you, and that kicking in, to kicking in that protection for you. That's what they were saying.
Right. But I'm glad I got it.
Good after that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I got it.
Not that, because they've had some 95-year-olds got their shots and didn't feel anything. They had no problem whatsoever, so it affects everybody differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. When I saw that that the governor decided to open up L.A. and in fact I just texted my granddaughter to see how she feels about it. My oldest one, and see if she could chime in and see if it already started for her. if
well,
it was opened up.
Recall. They want to recall Governor Newsom. So I was coming out of Walmart one day, and the brother said, "Hey, man, come sign this. He's got his clipboard. Come sign to get rid of Governor Newsom. You know, to recall Governor Newsom." And I just asked him plainly, "So who are you going to replace him with?" He said, "What?"
Right.
I said, "Sir, me, Negro." I said, "Now, who are you going to replace? Who are you going to replace him with?" Okay.
Right. The
so
person
you
who
just
lost.
Going to get me a job. Yeah.
Right.
You're
right.
Going to get me
yeah.
A
you know.
That's what you're going to get me. You want me to go and vote for a guy? Just look. I'm not going to say he was perfect, but it's working now. I don't need hey, you know, trying to get the money. Trump also. I blame him because he told him, "I'm not helping no blue states. You didn't vote for me. I'm not helping you. I'm not sending you no money. I'm not doing
That's
anything
right.
for you." So I don't know who they thought they were going to replace him. But even if they did, if it vote, I'm voting for him again. I'm not voting for no Republican just so y'all can take over. I already seen what y'all do. You brought me the orange man.
Right.
They're trying to do the same thing in New York with Cuomo, you know, because
right.
he was so has so much publicity for the virus and everything. So they're trying to take him down any way they can and replace him with somebody that's a Republican.
Well, New York is a Democratic state, so it ain't going to happen. They can want a Republican all they want. They ain't going nowhere. So, they're going to replace him. If they do replace him, it's going to be another Democrat because they they don't believe in a lot of it. You know, they're not going to let you all that multicultural going down there.
Right.
No.
Interesting.
But I don't believe that getting rid of Newsom, and they said, "Well, yeah, he got caught." You know, going to he tell people don't go in a restaurant. He got caught. Go, who cares? I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. So what? You didn't say nothing when Trump and his boys all the stuff that they didn't did. We got over 500 people killed. We got 500 people dead, and that was because of Republicans. And it was the same people you voted, and then they're gonna tell you your vote don't count. But yet you want another Republican, why would you want a guy that didn't want you to have no money? Everybody out here is starving. You got food lines going around the bill, especially in Texas. Have you seen the food lines in Texas?
Oh,
like
heck yeah.
Going to a ball game. why would you do this? It's crazy. You got all this, people need right now. People are suffering. And you're trying to say that they don't need no money? Guess what the poor people do? They put it back into the economy. The poor people are the economy. The stock market is not the economy.
The Republicans only think about that trickle-down effect. Thinking that corporations and rich people going to give you money, what do we get? Not a darn thing.
Also, when you give corporations money, they hoard the money. The people will spend the money. We are a consumer-driven society. If we don't spend, we don't survive. That's what they turned us into. You turned us into a consumer-driven society, not a production society like we used to be. We don't produce
right, and that has been pointed out many a times where the United States used to be a country of, as you just said, producing things, but now we consume. And look at what we do. We sit here, we watch what's on TV, and we look at where I got to have that. I look at people who come and buy stuff, and I'm like, really? You're actually buying that? For what? And I'm just saying, there's folks that I don't know. There's folks that I know that I see them buying stuff. I'm like, so what are you going to do with it? I mean, there's certain things I don't understand that people purchase. Granted, if it's a need or if it's your hobby or whatever, I get that. But sometimes folks buy stuff just to be in competition because somebody else bought it. You follow me? It's a competition thing in some cases. It's not a need thing. It's a want. but you want something you can't really afford. And what is it going to do better for you, you know, in the long run?
Right.
And granted, I spent money on things I really should not have bought. I'm not going to lie. I've done that before. And I wind up selling it, getting rid of it, because it's like, you know, this thing is sitting here and I'm not doing nothing with it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'm not in competition with anybody. But like you said, we are not a society that produced. We're the society that wants to spend money. We want to buy everything. We're hoarders. Now, we only have like 10 minutes before our guest joins us. And I have to go back and look at the board. So, and after our guest, we do have another guest. Our guest at 6:30 is Mr. Raheem Devon. And thanks to Cotton Campbell for getting him on the show. We really appreciate it. We don't have a lot of time, so we have to use the time wisely as usual when we do our shows. I managed to have a few tracks here that we're going to listen to. So what I want to do right now, though, I want to go ahead and seeing that he's not going to be with us for a long period of time, I want to go ahead and play one of his tracks, and you guys take a listen. Let's take a quick break, and then when he comes on, we'll introduce, we'll get the conversation going, and then listen to one of his latest singles, and have a great show. And immediately after that, oh,
Sassy Chocolate! Sassy Chocolate!
Will be joining us. All right? So you guys, let's take a quick music break. And like I said, we won't have time to play the music while he's with us because we have a short period of time. Here's Raheem Devon with one of his first singles. Here's Woman.
It's official right now. You. In 4 minutes or less, you. We're going to crown all of them right now. That's Kate, my mama, your mama, you. And you. Your baby's mama's mama, dedicate you. Wife, you. If you're near a woman right now, wherever you at, turn to them and say, dedicate. You are appreciated.
I appreciate just like you, and then I'm what you take to carry and birth a child. Thank you, and the way you play dumb, even when we're living real bad. Thank you, and even as a single parent, mama, you still hold it down somehow. Thank you, mama. Make them ends meet so high. Thank you, mama. I appreciate your strength. Thank you, never bite your lip.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. That is Raheem Devon. Wow. I know y'all, that track there, Woman, powerful, powerful, powerful. Okay. Everybody got quiet on that one. Huh?
No, it was a good song, very good song, a lot of meaning to it.
Yeah, and you know what I like is that it was a positive song. You know, you hear a lot of negative stuff out here, and that was just so positive. And fortunately, we're starting to hear more artists, which we've had one on the show, the great has been on, doing more positive, and that's what is really need to be happening. I wanted to really start off and address this whole thing regarding the recent attacks that's happening to the Asian community. What we're going to do, for anyone who's wondering, we're going to talk about that next week. And don't get me wrong at all. I'm very saddened to see this happen. Prior to the shootings here in Atlanta, because I live here on the outskirts of downtown Atlanta, I live here, and many of us on this show live here in the ATL, and you don't want to hear about that in your city, or better yet, even in your state. You don't want to hear about some random killing. You really don't. Or anywhere, for that matter. But I was fortunate to grow up in a very diverse community. There was black, white, Hispanic, and Asian people where I lived growing up. In fact, for a while, there was a family, the Hirakawas, three brothers. They were the only one who had a basketball rim in their front yard, okay? Honestly. And we used to all go to their house and play basketball. That's what I grew up to. When this topic comes up, and I was talking to Officer Mason, who had a Kendrick Johnson's mother on as his guest earlier this afternoon, which you guys probably remember Kendrick Johnson is the young man who was, I feel like, was murdered, but they haven't said it was a murder. They say it was an accidental death. Here in Lowndes County, Georgia, allegedly trying to get a tennis shoe out of a rolled-up mat, which I never bought that story. Don't understand why they took his organs out of his body and stuffed his body with newspaper. But anyway, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but you guys should know the story. If you don't, check it out. But the case has been reopened, and Miss Johnson was on my friend's show earlier, and it was really interesting to talk or to listen to her talk and how happy she is to know that this case is being reopened, because it just doesn't make sense. Just like the murders of these individuals here, it's all racially motivated to me.
Now, Mike,
it's all racially motivated.
Now, Mike, they say that the boy had sexual issues, Mike.
Okay, yeah, that's what they say.
They say he had sexual issues, and he went there, so he was angry because he couldn't control his urges. And because he couldn't control his urges, he would go to them to take care of
his sexual issue. Mm-hmm. Right. You're breaking up. You're starting to break up. So
I'm breaking up?
I'm not hearing you say. Yeah, you were breaking up. Let's see if we can get you in close.
Oh. Well, okay, wait a minute. Let me put my ears in.
Okay, it's better then.
I'll put some ears in. That way we can, because right now I have you on speaker.
Okay. And keep in mind that now the time is 6:31, so shortly our guest should be joining us. But go ahead with what you're going to comment on.
I was going to say, hold on. You know, when you mad at the world, Mike, we've all had bad days, right? Now that massage parlor is supposed to go. That massage parlor
right.
was supposed to, you know, where you go to get a massage, where you're supposed to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
This boy mad at them, saying he couldn't control his urges, so he gonna blame them for his problem because he couldn't get over his addiction. Now he's 21.
Right, he's an adult. Right, he's legal.
Yeah, and you go in to kill somebody, you know. My thing is, bruh, I've been mad, but hey, you know, hey, that's supposed to, I ain't never been that mad where I want to go attack the people who supposed to make me feel better. How do you shoot them? They in the good field. They in the feel good business, bro. They ain't into the, you know. That's why not adding up. That's what's not adding up. They're in the feel good business. They're
maybe in his mind, he thought that they were supposed to make him feel better than just a massage. And keep in mind, you know, in movies, you know, you get where these. Certain massage parlors, not just in movies, it happens a lot. There's some that, not saying these, now don't get me wrong at all. I'm not implying that that's what these parlors were. These were more than likely, of course, legitimate massage parlors. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine who told me that, yeah, they went to one and checked it out and, you know, told them what the price was. But anyway, you know, for a massage, that's what you come there for.
But even
he
if it
probably
was for what they were doing.
Well, but even then, still and again, he should have he should not have gone to that extreme. But let me do this. I'm going to open up the mic of they just hit the number and then they bounced off. I was going to see if they're going to chime in. I thought I saw Officer Crenshaw here. Yeah, he's here because since he knows here in Atlanta, he's a veteran officer, been on the force for 20 years and retired. And as we wait for our guest to pop in, let me go ahead and open up the mic for Officer Crenshaw, see what he has to say about this. Officer Crenshaw,
hey,
are you
guys,
there?
How y'all doing?
Hey, Officer
Crenshaw.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm having problems with my phone going in and out and in and out. But, I you know, it's you can't say it's not a hate crime. I believe it is.
Right.
And you look at a lot of things to where he's saying he has a sex addiction, but he didn't go and shoot and kill prostitutes. He went to Asian massage parlors.
Right.
Right.
He didn't go out
Asian.
And kill prostitutes.
Which
you
he frequents. Which he went to, though. Those are his massage parlors that he would go on a regular basis.
Right. So he knew what he was doing, and for them to say, oh, he was having a bad day, no.
Yeah. So this reminds me of the Dylann Roof stuff. Now, you know, after Dylann Roof committed the crime that he did in the black church, they prayed with him before he killed them. And then the cops took him to Burger King because they said he was hungry. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So now we got a guy. They said, well, he was having a bad day. Oh, so when you have a bad day, you go and get a gun. Now, mind you, he purchased that gun in one day.
Hours before the shooting.
Right. How do you go and get a gun that quick? Is that how it is in Georgia? Because I don't know.
Nope.
But how you get a gun that quick, boom, boom, and then you say, oh, let me go. And he did it nonchalantly. He just walked wherever he was going and just started popping people.
But when you need help, you go to see, you seek help. You go see a psychiatrist or a counselor or somebody, you know, a crisis center. You don't just decide, I'm going to shoot and kill all these people. And then if he hadn't got caught, he was going to even kill probably more.
because he was on his way down to Florida.
And this thing is what's bothering me. This so-called "you're taking my freedom." The white boy has been saying that for a while. I was on a podcast early, and I said, look, I am tired of hearing about the white boy and his freedom being taken and, ooh, look what happened to him. And everything. No, dude, you are not suffering. Okay? I don't want to – and you get mad because someone say white privilege? You have never really – if you didn't get part of your meal, if you didn't get in on the deal that came through, that's on you. But definitely, you ain't really had to – worry about something already judging you for the color of your skin. And every time they come down, it's just an insurrection and any other thing they get in trouble for, somebody's trying to make up an excuse for them. These people are sick. There's something wrong with them, and they're spreading. I'm telling you, hey, they're committing a lot of crimes by spreading that bad message, man. These guys, the right does not understand that disinformation is screwing these people up, and they're buying it. And there's going to be more killing. There's going to be more killing.
Well, you know, as I said, it was really sad that I believe it was the head officer here, when he made that comment, said, "Well, he had just a bad day." Oh man, he's getting a lot of flack over that, because that's something you definitely don't do.
Oh, he's not speaking anymore.
But, well,
they
he can't.
Cut him off.
You're right.
They cut him off. Well, he's done.
As a law enforcement officer, that shouldn't have came out of his mouth, even if he was simply stating what the guy said to him or to his investigators. He was having a bad day. He shouldn't have never allowed that to even come out during a press conference. If that was the statement that the subject made, then they take that statement, they investigate all of that, and find out just how bad of a date he's had before they try to put it to the media.
Okay.
You know, what? He had a bad day. He has a sex addiction. It couldn't get hard. Excuse my French. That's a bad day for him. So he go out and start shooting and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
What's a bad day?
Now, you know, the comedian in me would definitely make comedy out of it. It's all right, because that's where comedy comes from, tragedy. And, you know, we've been clowning about this all day. It's a tragedy on one end that he went out and killed people, but the comedy is the part where he tries to make the excuse on why he's doing it. And that's what's not adding up.
That's what he should have went and got help. His intentions were malicious, because he already had his excuse.
Right. Now he knows if they say it was a hate crime, that's added bonus. Okay.
Right.
Because now does Georgia have a death penalty?
No.
It doesn't. Really? I am blown away by that. So he just goes sit in jail for the rest of the day.
To life in prison 25 times before they actually sentence you to death here in Georgia.
Wow. Now, it's amazing. Now,
Georgia has
killed people. You want to change the voting. You want to change the voting rights in Georgia. Okay? I got to have all these IDs to vote. But I can go get a gun in an hour.
Well, I mean, I was listening to a comedic show, and the comedian was saying that everybody's running around scared of the black man because he's big and he's burly and he's buff. You know, he looks like he's been to prison, and he's probably been to prison. But the white guy with the shaved head that you know is in prison is the one that's actually guilty. The black man, not all of them, are guilty. But the white man,
Officer Crenshaw, that was spread. They spread that lie back in the 1800s. That's been the narrative of the black man to destroy our image. There's a museum in Michigan. It's called the Jim Crow
negative propaganda museum.
Right.
And it's all the propaganda that has been used against black people. What's happening to Asians was already happening to black people. Not to
right.
say that I'm going to measure the hate, but then, you know, the Asians got, they went after everybody, okay?
Right.
I mean, and the Asians got a history and everything. So it's, you know, it's really that deal, man.
Right. Well, it's like
somebody
what I
calling
call,
it on.
You know, I say light-skinned brothers are in seasonally. You know, we're not
right.
in all year long. Certain type of the year, the women like us. Well, that's what's
right.
happening with the Asians because they didn't like them because of World War II, Hiroshima.
Right.
They didn't like them
right.
in Vietnam, but they hated blacks constantly.
Right. Constantly.
Right. Hey, you guys, I gotta stop. And by the way, I'm hearing noise in the background. If you can't hear it, it's because it's you. So please put yourself on mute. I'm hearing some sounds in the background. Our guest has joined us, and we're a little behind schedule, so we got to save that for next week. We're going to get into that conversation. We really have to, because just like you said, what's happening now, there's a lot of alarm and a lot of people upset and everything, but this has been happening in the black community all the time. This is nothing new. I mean, not just in the black community, but just period. When you look at folks who go and shoot up schools and restaurants and everything, it's still, to me, and no disrespect, don't get me wrong, but racism is racism. People kill people for a reason. They hate those individuals. And according to a lot of folks who I've talked to, they say that, you know, thanks to Donald Trump, he put a bullseye on the Asian community, calling it the China flu. So, hey, our guest has joined us. So, you guys, let's regroup here. And I was going to play a track, but I'm going to wait. We're going a little bit over. So, without further ado, and I'm going to open up their mic. You know, because of coronavirus, I cannot have the studio audience as usual. So please put your hands together and join me in welcoming our special guest to the TMGS, Mr. Raheem Devon is in the house. Come on, y'all. Give it up.
Yay!
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 How you doing, brother?
Peace.
And happy Saturday
Peace.
To you.
Peace. Happy Saturday.
Thank you.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Good. Thanks for joining
yeah,
thank us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Wow. You know, it's just been some crazy stuff for artists like yourself and everything, which we're going to get into. And I know we have limited time, but how are things going with you as far as with the new music? It's going great. But unfortunately, the virus came out, which has harmed a lot of artists and slowed down the process. But what have you been doing during this time to keep everything going and relevant? Because fortunately, we are able to hear. And I just recently played one of your tracks and want to play a couple of more. But how have things been going with you, though, during this whole time?
I mean, probably just like everybody else, you have good days, you have bad days. You know, it's been a complete reset for us as artists and from an industry standpoint. You know, so I just been looking to expand and to new horizons and tap into other things. So, you know, whether that's like marketing endorsement deals with different products or, you know, doing more film and television oriented stuff. And I definitely have increased like the workload in terms of, creatively and doing a number of different projects and things that I'm working on. You know, I feel like, I mean, even before the pandemic, like nothing moved without the music. So I'm always about the music and making sure that I protect and keep the integrity of that. Like in terms of like, that's the main thing that people connect with, you know, when they connect with me. So it's very important for me to make sure that stays innovative, new and fresh, you know, the things that I'm doing. But very consistent for like what I'm known for doing as
well.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, with your music, which I already said, I played Woman. I played Woman before we got you on the line. And, I mean, that song alone, you know, I could play that over and over again because that's a powerful track there. And unfortunately, we don't have many artists that are doing those type of songs, but that's a powerful track. There are a few now that are starting to be more respectful to, you know, the black woman and the woman, or the mother or the sister or whatever, in family, which I listened to that track and I was like, wow, he was doing that long before we started looking at the situation, right? The disrespect of women and everything that you were doing that. Give us a little bit of background for the folks who don't know who Raheem Devon is. There's a few folks that are listening, but give them a little bit of background as we go forward into the conversation of who you are, what got you into this industry.
I'm 8 albums deep. First, let me just say that, you know, I got a total of eight projects out, including like What a Time to Be in Love, which just dropped back in November. That's my newest body of work. The single off of the album is called Mr. Midnight, which is doing very well right now, climbing up the charts and streaming, you know, the album streaming well. But I've been making music. I did my first deal back in 2002 with Jive Records at the time, which was like the best label in the business as it relates to like R&B, soul music, and hip hop. You know, Jive is, you know, known for artists like Tribe Called Quest, you know, on one end of the spectrum, but then also like, you know, Too Short, E-40. KRS-One.
Right. And we can't forget about Houdini, right? Wasn't Houdini with Exidy on Jive Records too? Am I right?
If I'm not mistaken, they were. Yep.
Yeah, right. Prince, I believe they were on Jive. You know, right, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, Will Smith, Jazzy Jeff. I could go on and on. And then, I mean, and then of course, like on the R&B side, you know, some of the biggest, and not the biggest, R&B producers, soul singers, and what have you, you know, at that time. So, you know, but I've always prided myself in making music that, you know, socially conscious as well as R&B and soulful. You know, so that's something I think that I've been coined for doing out the gate, you know, and that's where the inspiration for, like, doing records like Woman and Bulletproof or, you know, Black and Blue, which is a record I just remade. I just did a 2021 version of that for a film that I'm
I love.
It's you know, it's one of those things, like I said, I pride myself in doing, you know, making, at this point, I guess they would call it legacy, millennial, you know, soulful R&B. That's very sexy for the bedroom, you know, but also makes women feel beautiful, you know, anthems and then also, like I said, you know, records that speak to the socially conscious issues of things that are going on in today's climate of the world.
Exactly. Wow. That's great, man. And in fact, prior to the video of Mr. Midnight, they got a little writing there. The king of what now? You're the king of? You recall what it says?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not familiar with what you're talking about.
Okay. I have to pull that up, but it's something that they put there in your at the start of your music video. But I'll skip that for now. I'll come back to it. Yeah, I do have some co-hosts.
Yeah, like the I mean, it's been coined, like, I've been coined a lot of different things, but, you know, Love King of
R&B,
you know.
That's it, yep. Love King of R&B, right. And, you know what, I look at it where, you know, that don't you know, that's cool, because listening to what you do, you do have a lot of positives and great love songs and everything. I know there's other individuals here that want to ask you some questions. Cotton Campbell, of course, mm-hmm. one of the co-hosts who put this all together. But I want to ask this, and then I want to open up the mics to the co-hosts and let them ask okay. some questions. But with the virus, they say that it's kind of like slowing down. I've talked to some mm-hmm. other artists, and I see some that are preparing to go on stage this year, later on mm-hmm. in the year. I see flyers going up. How do you feel about going on stage this year or at some time soon? Are you comfortable with it, or are you kind of still cautious?
I've done shows. I've done you know, strategically, things that make sense, drive-in concerts, mm-hmm. stuff of that nature. You know, certain venues, you know, I'm just, my thing is just like, you know, use common sense with the moves you make, you know what I mean?
Right.
Be conscientious that there is, you know, a virus out here that, that, you know, we got to protect ourselves and one another from. So, you know, I'm comfortable with it. Like, you know, I feel like I'm doing a lot of the necessary things to make sure that my immune system is intact, you know, for whatever I may come in contact with. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, opportunities. I don't jump on every opportunity. I try to make sure that there is absolutely a must that is COVID compliant, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
In terms of that type of thing. So, you know, I definitely one of them people that believe all money is not good money. So,
good.
Just, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm. Your life is definitely invaluable. There's no price on a life. So, right, yeah, you're definitely right about that. Cotton Campbell, I want you to go ahead and ask our guest your question or comment. And then right after that, you guys, and for you guys who are listening, I'm sorry, we're pushing for time, but we're definitely thankful that Mr. Raheem Devon is joining us. Let Cotton go ahead and ask his question. But then after that, I want to go ahead and play Mr. Midnight and come back. And if you can hang with us just a little bit longer for a couple of more questions, and then we'll keep it moving. Cotton, go right ahead to Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
First, I just want to say thank you so much, Raheem, for coming on the show. It is truly an honor to have you on. You are definitely, and I just have a comment. I don't have a question. I just want to say that you definitely are that positive, mental, stimulating, emotional, sensual, sexy food that women actually need when they sit here listening to music, you know. We need that for sure these days, and so I appreciate you bringing that to the table, and thank you again for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to keep it with the ladies. Janet Davis, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. I've been reading that you are very active in various social causes, and I wanted to know a little bit more about this Love Life Foundation. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah. So I have a foundation. It's called the Love Life Foundation. Of course, with the pandemic hitting, we've been in revamp mode and trying to figure out how we can still make the impact, like, you know, virtually and physically, with the challenges of, you know, a lot of things being shut down and things of that nature and, you know, social distancing. But our initiatives range from the partnership that we had with the AHF in the past, which is the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, they range from that to fighting domestic violence, which is one of our heavy initiatives, and, you know, being supportive and protective of women who transition out of severe domestic violence situations, you know, fighting against sex trafficking, child exploitation. We do food banks where there are deserts and stuff like that in our city. Mm-hmm. Up until when the schools have been, you know, closed down, we had adopted the last 2 years Turner Elementary in Southeast D.C., which is a well-known elementary school, you know, on the south side of D.C., southeast side of D.C., right in the heart of the community, where we would bring in fresh produce and vegetables, like once mm-hmm. a month, to supply, you know, to the local neighborhoods, as well as like having chefs on the ground that, you know, there at the school, after school, to show the kids and the parents how to make, you know, more healthy, health-conscious decisions and meals and snacks and stuff like that. We did, you know, countless toy drives and, you know, gave away over 50 bikes and stuff like that for the holidays last,
wow,
you know, last two Christmases, make sure, you know, that they got a great holiday, you know, Christmas break and stuff of that nature. So just a number of different things. We probably to date probably had the largest event feeding the homeless and those that were displaced. And that was a partnership with a brother named Tony Lewis Jr. from D.C. a few years back for Operation Nourishment, and a young lady by the name of Jasmine Crow, who had a foundation called Black Celebrities Giving out of Atlanta, Georgia. We all partnered up and, you know, probably had today, like I said, one of the largest events, you know, feeding the homeless and giving them free haircuts and stuff like that. So anything really relative to uplifting and supporting the community or the youth, like, you know, I've been involved in it over the last, you know, decade in my city, and some of these activities we've done globally, you know, like Queen for a Day, spa takeovers, taking over spas in local cities, and, you know, pampering women who transitioning, you know, that are living in the shelters and stuff like that with the kids. On the educational side, the textbook scholarship fund, supplying kids and children with books and supplies for the first year of college. You know, we gave away scholarships to do that the last few years as well. So that pretty much covers, like, what we do for the foundation. For anybody that is interested in supporting, making a donation, or just, you know, wants to just check out what we do, there's some videos and content on the site. You can log on to lovelifefoundationdmv.org. Once again, that's lovelifefoundationdmv.org.
Wow, that's awesome that you are impacting so many lives, you know, so in the community. Thank you for that information.
Yes, thank you very much. And you know what? Speaking of Love Life, Mr. Midnight, okay, who is this guy? Because, when I listen to the song, I used to be a Mr. Midnight long ago. I don't know what you were implying, but I'm going to put the way I look at it, okay? I used to be a Mr. Midnight when I was younger. But anyway, I love the song. I love the music videos that you put out. I mean, it's very well, it's done with great, I mean, it's just great. It's fantastic. Because you got these beautiful women, you know. But it's with taste. It's really with taste. And I love the music, and I love the way your harmonies, your sound arrangement. But without talking all about it, let's get into it right now. And when we come back, give us a little bit about how this song came about, because to me it is a good song. So you guys, sit back and listen to Mr. Raheem Devon, Mr. Midnight.
Keep on going. Don't let them take one. Till I see.
Welcome back to the Michael Gay Show. We're live with our special guest, Mr. Raheem Devine. You just heard Mr. Midnight. Excuse me, I'm still grooving to it. I mean, come on now. Y'all give it up. That's a man.
That's just too smooth, my brother.
I'm just going to be honest. I know there shouldn't be no such thing as too smooth, but that's too smooth. Love that. So what was the inspiration behind that song, though? And I have to recommend you guys go ahead and check it out on whatever social media, download it, buy it, you know, support it, and all his product. What was the inspiration behind that song there?
You know, probably the album as a whole, like the inspiration was like, you know, it's a celebration of like black love, you know what I mean, and intimacy, and, you know, and really just pushing that narrative, and just, you know, right. It's a lot of people home, you know, that were or still, you know, somewhat on lockdown, know, with their better half. You know what I mean? So just something to just create some intimacy and spice it up, you know, for when you're at the crib. You know, once a Mr. Midnight, always a Mr. Midnight is what I say. You know what I'm saying? Everything in moderation, though. You know what I mean? You ain't got to spread yourself thin to be a Mr. Midnight. You can be a Mr. Midnight for the one you with. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
right.
Whatever your scenario.
You know. The ladies are loving what you're saying, my brother. They loving it. They're definitely loving it.
Yeah, the record.
Unfortunately, we're pressed for time, but please share your contact information again for everyone who's listening.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can reach me, you know, via Instagram and Twitter at Raheem_Devine. Once again, that's at Raheem_Devine, RAHEEM_DEVAUGHN. You can also follow me, you know, Facebook.com/ Raheem Devine. I'm also on YouTube, YouTube.com/ Raheem Devine. I'm on Clubhouse as well. I do a slow jam show on Clubhouse. It's called Sage and Slow Jam. So.
Okay.
If you tap in with me on Clubhouse, everybody that's using the Clubhouse app, make sure you join my official club, Sage and Slow Jams. It's every Sunday, 10 p.m. East Coast Standard Time. I will be live tomorrow night as well. And it's great, you know. I play some of that old, some of that new. Definitely, you know, put you on to some tunes and music that people may not be hip to and different artists. They got great slow jams. It's a lot of great music out there still, and I've been using the time to just time wisely to find it and promote it and play it. I just dropped a new single with a group called Real People, and that's spelled R-E-E-L and people. So they're from Europe. They're from over in London, the UK area. So big shout out to the Real People. They're like kind of like. Trying to think of a good example of who to describe. It's like a production team, you know what I mean? Production team slash band, and like a, you know, incognito type vibe, you know, millennial sound. And so the record features me. It's called Deja Vu. That's on all digital platforms as well. So make sure you check out that new Deja Vu record, you know, by myself and Real People. And I got a new video dropping the week of Marvin Gaye's birthday for the single Marvin Used to Say, which is on my album.
Yeah, okay.
So look out for that video coming. I got a new album coming out at the end of May as well, May 28th, you know, if all goes well. So that's the date we're chasing right now. And the album will be called Lovesick, and it's produced by a producer out of Detroit named Apollo Brown. So listen out for that as well.
All right. Well, Raheem, we truly appreciate you coming on the TMGL. we truly appreciate it. We hope that you'll come back and visit us again.
Absolutely.
Because we definitely love your music and then learning what you do for the community, what you just shared, is something that we definitely want to make sure that people know about and share.
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware, and I'm glad that you shared that. And so, you guys, we got to follow up on it. We definitely will be following you on that tip also. And look forward to seeing you back on a main stage, man. You know, I'm sure the ladies will love it, you know. And plus, you're putting in a good word for us fellas, you know, also. So with that being said, thanks to you. And you guys, put your hands together again for our guest in the first hour, Mr. Raheem Devine. Put your hands together. Let's go ahead and do it. Come on now.
All right. Yay.
Thank y'all again. Thank y'all again. Thank y'all again for having me. Just somebody asked, just because they asked. I am doing an online concert on April 2nd at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To check me out. You know, it'll be from my space to your place. Again, I'm doing a live online concert. You log on to stageit.com. Again, it's stageit.com/Raheem Devine575. You can get your virtual online concert tickets there. It's really dope. A lot of the fans have been supporting that. So definitely you can pull up virtually there. And I'm doing two shows in Atlanta, Georgia on April 4th, which is a Sunday. It's a 3:30 show, and it's a 6:30 show. So if you feel comfortable coming out, you can mask up, come out, enjoy yourself. It's going to be a dope vibe. You know, tickets will
about
sell out.
About 2 weeks away. Right, about 2 weeks away.
So I'll be in Atlanta on that Sunday, April 4th. Yep.
Fantastic. All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick music break with one of your tracks, and then if you have time to listen in to our next guest, which is going to be
Sexual Chocolate.
Yes, the band is going to be joining us right after this music break. Thank you again to Mr. Raheem Devine for joining us here on TMGS. Quick music break. Check this one out, you guys. You should love this, because I know I do. We'll be right back for the second half.
Peace and love, man.
Touching, holding, kissing.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the TMGS. This is the Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Thanks to our special guest, the first hour, Mr. Raheem Devon, for spending some time with us. So we truly appreciate him and look forward to coming back and joining us. Let's see. I have to put that mic on mute real quick before we get started. So, wow, that was interesting what he shared about what he does and what he shares. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's good to know that. You know, a lot of artists do a lot of things in the background. We always think that they're just doing the music, but there are some that are doing things for the community. And
that's
maybe
right.
They don't want the spotlight for doing that, but maybe we should put the spotlight on them. I mean, it's up to them. But maybe, you know, instead of people saying, well, so-and-so got all this money, he ain't doing this, and that, you don't know what so-and-so is doing unless they tell you, right? And he just told us this is what he does. So, a lot of respect to that brother, and I truly appreciate him joining us, you know, this little network of ours. The little engine that could is what I look at it at this moment in time. So I'm glad we're able to do so. But without further ado, we're a little bit behind schedule. And so I want to introduce our next guest in the second hour. And this should say a lot. So right now I'm going to play a little clip to the first movie. Everybody's rushing to see the new one, but there's a great story behind both of them. So let's listen to this one clip where we were first introduced to Sexual Chocolate. Here we go.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
And Reverend Brown. 3 years for the Reverend. This man's been my Reverend since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. You're a very special man. Reverend Brown. Reverend Brown, it feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful audience. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely. And while you're in the clapping mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree?
I believe the children are our future.
Thank you.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join the show?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is inside of me.
Sexy chocolate!
Welcome back to the show, and you guys, please welcome to the show the members.
Put your hands together for Mr. Randy Watson.
Put
yeah,
your hands together.
Time, Randy Watson, how about it?
Oh, my God. That clip right there just kills me every time in the first one. Hey, you guys, welcome to the show, the band of Sexy Chocolate. First, I want to open up the mic to Mr. Bruce Sterling. Bruce, how you doing? I want to introduce the rest of the band, but Bruce, how you doing this evening?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much. Let me see. I got to go down the list here and get everybody after. We ran a little over with our first guest, but I'm looking at the board here, and I'm going to open up the mics to all the other individuals here.
Yeah.
So
they're in the queue right now.
Yeah, I'm looking now, and I'm looking at the numbers, so I'm about to open up all the mics. Let's see, 213. Yeah, I see them here. All right, let me open up this one in the queue. All right, and this will be Mr. Jeffrey Suttles is here. Jeffrey, how are you doing, sir? All right, and let me see here. Fantastic. Terrell Ruffin, let me get his mic open. Nope, that's not it. That's another name. Okay, I think I see him here. 209. One moment. 818-209.
Coming.
Okay, I don't see that one. Hold on a minute. Let me go to Carl. Carl, where are you at? There's Carl right there. That's his mic. Carl, Denson, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. Let's see, Melvin Davis. Let me get Melvin in here. I see him there opening up his mic. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, hey now. What's up? What's up?
All right, all right. Who am I missing here? I'm missing one person. Oh, there they are. Yep, I got everybody. Jeffrey, you here. Terrell's here. Carl's here. Melvin's here. And Bruce is here.
Yep.
Jeff, you on?
All right. Fantastic. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and welcome to the TMGS. Thank you for coming on the show. There's a lot, and I'm sorry that, you know, it took a minute, but we're just a little bit behind schedule. Sexy chocolate. Sexual chocolate, but he says sexy chocolate later on in that one skit. But the movie, the first one, how that came about, and I want to go to let's see, I believe it's going to be Melvin, who knows the whole story. That came about for sexual chocolate to be in the first one, and then where was the issue of trying to get you guys back together to be in the second one?
Biscuit is best illustrated by Jeffrey. He's the one to put the whole situation.
Jeffrey, I'm sorry. It was Jeffrey. I'm sorry. It was Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. So the
Jeffrey, you here?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the band was put together by myself through Mr. John Landis. I was working for John Landis in another capacity, and I was a production assistant on the movie, and he knew I was a musician and came to me and asked me could I put a band together for him. And the band that we all make up, which is called Kush originally, is a Kush, band called Kush with Melvin, Carl, Bruce, Tori, and myself. I told him, yes, I can put a band together, and that's how it came about.
Mm. So there is a band called Kush, but they changed the name, of course, for the movie, Sexy Talk. So, right, there's a band called Kush. This is the first movie. Now, was this something that was written into the script? I mean, I'm not sure if you, that was added later on, or something that was written into the script later on by John Landis. And by the way, for you guys who don't know who John Landis is, the music director who did Michael Jackson's Thriller video and a host of other movies like Trading Places and all those types of things. So was this something that came up later as an idea for Sexual Chocolate, or was it something they had planned when they came to you and said, hey, this is what we need from you? Or can you help us?
I believe, well, what happened, I think Eddie was up there, and they had talked about it earlier, and he had ran across a couple of names. He had ran out a couple of names, and I think Sexual Chocolate was the one that ringed to be the one that had the ring to it that everybody liked. So Eddie is the one that came up with the name.
Okay, so I have to say this. I'm not sure, but
anyone, if you're moving around or anything, if you're speaking, please put yourself on mute because it is coming through the show, so it's interrupting. So if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute, and then I'll address everyone. I'm sorry, someone said my name. Excuse me? Okay, cool. All right, now we got all the noise out the way. So we see Coming to America, the first one, and from what I'm understanding that you guys never got any credit as individual artists in the first movie, and then here comes the second one. How did that come about of where you get word that the second movie is going to be made? But from what I understand how the story goes is that they reached out and had to find you guys. They had to look for members. How did that, I mean, why did they have to look for you? They should have already known who you were.
Well, I think looking for us is just reaching out to reconnect with us, not because everybody is in L.A. Tori is the only one that has moved out of state. I mean, Melvin is in Orange County. Carl is in Orange County. I think Bruce is in Orange County now. So we're all in a local. So they just was basically reaching out just to reconnect with everybody. They didn't have to really reach out and find us, but, you know, they would have to find us because most of us are working musicians and we're busy, but they just reached out and to reconnect with us.
Okay, I get it. And when you say that you guys are musicians, let me go to Jeff first. Jeffrey, you're a drummer.
Yes.
Who are some of the artists that you played with? Because when you watch the movie, you know, and I've shared this with people, and to be honest, I talk to folks and they say, I thought those were just extras, acting like musicians, because that's what you normally get, you know. Somebody standing up there acting like they can play drums, acting like they can play a guitar. But who are some of the artists that you've performed and toured with as a professional musician?
Bill Withers was my first job. I did Bill Withers, then I did Jennifer Holliday. I did Cheryl Lynn for a while. I was with Paula Abdul when she did Straight Up and all of that type of stuff. And I did Donny Osmond. I played with a Latin artist by the name of Alejandro Sanz. I'm forgetting some people. I played with Chalamar with Bruce. Me and Bruce played with Chalamar together. Played with BB and CC on Arsenio. And I've been with a pop singer by the name of Taylor Dane for the last 31 years. But I just can't remember everybody. Tina Marie is one that you can find, like, on YouTube and actually see me playing with her. So that was one of the more enjoyable acts that I did.
And if you guys don't mind, I want to go down the list and you guys share the artists that you played with, like Mr. Ruffin, the guitarist. Can you name some of the artists that you've toured with and performed with also? You got to think about that one. Is that special? It must be a long list, brother.
Is Tori on, Michael?
Is Tori on there?
Tori may not be on, though, Mike.
Okay.
But, move on to Carl or Melvin, yeah.
Okay, Carl Denton, the saxophone player. In fact, I want to ask you about that sax playing, but go ahead. Carl, can you share some of that with you?
Yeah, you know what, I have a band of my own called Carl Denton's Tiny Universe. That's been around since 98. And back in the day, how I met all these guys was we used to play back in the 80s. We played with an artist named O'Brien. You might be a little young to know that, but O'Brien.
He's been on the show. Yes, he's been on our show a couple of times.
Yeah, we played with O'Brien, and then I played with I was with Lenny Kravitz at the beginning of his career for the first 4 years. And now I am also a sideman with the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
So that's what I've been doing.
You know, when you talk about the Rolling Stones, I mean, you're talking about a group that is, okay, I'm not going to go there, because these cats, those cats, as old as they are, you don't have to help them get on stage, right? But I'm just joking. All right, so.
Let me tell you something. Mick Jagger will run you into the ground right now.
I believe it.
That dude's an Iron Man. He's not messing around.
Wow, I believe it. A lot of energy. Melvin Davis.
Yes, sir.
Can you share some of your experience in this industry where people think that you're? Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Like Carl, now I started out with with Buddy Miles, the drummer Buddy Miles, and we kind of went into the O'Brien era, and other artists, George Duke, Chaka Khan, Lee Ritenour, and God, I can't remember. They had a lot of session work, but those are to name a few.
Pointer,
the there you go. Who said that? Who said that? I forgot.
You know who.
Yeah, Pointer Sisters. hey, man, you know, it's been 30 more years since we did Sexual Chocolate. My brain goes. It's like, who have I played for? I'm currently MD for Shaka right now, though. And I've been with her since, oh, my God. Since the 80s, off and on since the 80s. So, sort of a long stint,
wow.
Like Jeffy with Tina.
Yeah. Penny Ford is one of her best friends. And, in fact, she was on the show earlier today. Yeah, she's been on it, and she's something else. She's awesome. Wow, that's amazing. And Shaka is awesome, again. Just like you were saying about Mick Jagger, say Shaka could run you in the ground, too, because Shaka still got that strength in it. Spirit, and she's just a great performer, and
she still does great. Yes, she is.
Great performer, great artist. Mr. Sterling, keyboard player.
Yes, sir.
And you have played with a lot of different individuals, as was mentioned. In fact, you've managed some. Karen White comes to name. Who else have you played? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you said Karen, because Karen also started with O'Brien, me, Melvin, Carl, all of us were together. Yeah, and it's kind of funny how the circle just came back around and around and around, and we kind of stayed in touch. You know, we went off and did other things, but I think the greatest part about it is that, you know, the movie for me brought us all back together to do this stand, and that's why we're kind of pushing the fact that Sexual Chocolate is really a real band, and the fact that you know we're looking forward to doing more things. For what I'm hearing, that some things are happening and brewing on the Randy Watson side. But in regards to me, I've been more behind the scenes in a sense, Michael. I put production stuff together, you know, for a lot of bigger artists too as well. Christina Aguilera, Jessica Simpson. Jeff was saying, Alejandro Sanz and Dell. Mm-hmm. I mean, the list goes on and on. But, you know, really what really has always been a fun thing to do is to play together with these guys, because, you know, we're real musicians and we have fun at it. And that's what it's really supposed to be about, having fun. And I'll never forget when Jeff called us to say, hey, man, we're doing this movie with Eddie Murphy. And we didn't know it was going to be as big as it is. You know, we did it because it was fun. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to do something cool. And next thing you know, they're fitting us for powder blue suits with ruffles and white. I'm like, wait a minute, what are we going to do here? Then we actually had to go into the studio, and the producer asked us to play Greatest Love of All sounded that way, because he wanted us to actually play it back. for the point
right.
of the movie, and that was crazy. So, no, it was really a great time at that point. But you know, lessons learned, you know, and we had a lot of fun, and you know, the movie's carried on for 30 years, and you
mm-hmm.
know, to this day, to this day, all you can do is see the look on Melvin's face is that. This is for real. Just kidding.
You know, when you look at it, it's been 30 years. There are kids today that weren't even born and watched
right.
the movie and cracked up laughing. That's what's so funny about it, that as you know, you guys are being called an icon. The band is an icon.
I got to break in and tell you this great story. I was a friend of mine got me a McDowell's hat, right? this is a couple of years ago, so I'm wearing my McDowell's hat, and I went to the grocery store, and there was this you know, the cashier was there, you know, an older white guy, and then there was a younger black kid who looked kind of like Patrick Mahomes, you know,
uh-huh.
and he probably was early 20s, you know, So the cashier sees my McDowell's hat, and he starts laughing. He's like, "Oh man, that's a great hat." And the kid kind of looks at the hat, and he didn't really get it, you know. And then the cashier says, "Coming to America, right?" And I go, "Yeah." And the kid looks at me, and he goes, "You're not from America?" He had no idea what we were talking about, and I.
Oh my God!
I said no, man. It's a movie. It was probably made before you were born. I go 88. He's like, yeah, that's way before I was born.
Wow!
Never thought about that.
Yeah, 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and they see the movie, and they're in awe of the characters. Now, let me, because I definitely want my co-hosts and any callers. And by the way, if you're calling in, if you have any questions or comments, make sure that you hit the number one so I can open up your mic for our guest. Sexual chocolate. I don't say it like that, you know. That's my blood information of Randy Watson.
Michael,
best I can do.
Michael, I got a little surprise for the guys. Say hi, guys.
Okay.
I got OB here. Hey.
What's
OB? Up? What's going on, man?
Burnett.
Oh, my gosh. You know. Yeah, man. Yeah. Y'all know.
What's up, OB?
Hey, you know I'm proud. Yeah, OB Biffin. Look, no, I got a story for y'all. Look, I got to just say this real quick. I love all you guys, okay? But I got to. You told a story. I got to tell a story about us real quick. Do you remember the time when we came out of the arena and we got on the bus and y'all had to hold me back from whooping somebody's ass?
Which time?
That happened a few times. Yeah, which
time?
My God.
Can I ask whose ass was in trouble? Can I ask whose ass was in trouble?
Somebody was at the bus window flipping me off and saying F O'Brien and F that nigga and blah blah blah, and I finally jumped out and got ready to run off the bus, and thank God the strongest people in the band grabbed me. But I just had to tell you that because that was funny. But I love you guys, man. I'm happy to see all of you guys together and still doing what you're doing, and all the individual things that you guys are doing. It always makes me proud to say that, you know, I started out with them guys, and they're so extremely talented that when my career maybe curtailed quite a bit, these fellas were so good that they're still in the game and winning big. So. I'm proud of that. So I love you guys. So
OB,
keep
OB.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Music is everlasting. I can't tell you how many times I've been in Caesar's Palace or one of the casinos, and over the intercom they're playing O'Brien music. You're never out of the game once you put it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you record it and it's played, I literally do before this pandemic. I'd be in one of the casinos and they'd be blowing some O'Brien. So yeah, you ain't never out of the game.
All right. Well, I can respect that. You know what I mean. But yeah. All right. Well, I love you guys, man. I'm gonna get you back to Bruce. I'm around here though, but I love you guys. Take care.
All right. Likewise. See you,
yes, sir.
Thanks to O'Brien, Mr. O'Brien. I mean, wow. He's been a guest on our show, and it's always great to have you chime in. OB, yes, definitely. Now, we are running really quick on time here, and time flies when you're having fun. I know my co-hosts and other folks have some questions or comments, so let me go around the board and let them go ahead and chime in with any questions or comments. The lady of the house, Ms. Janet Davis, do you have any questions or comments for formerly pushed, then, of course, Sexual Chocolate, and then I'll move on to the next co-host for their question or comment.
Well, because you guys are such a professional band and play with all these fantastic people, were you responsible for any of the other music that was in both movies, or it was just with the Randy Watson Sexual Chocolate?
Just the Randy Watson stuff. That's it.
Oh, okay.
All
right. Seems like you could have been playing a lot more since you are, you know, such a great band.
Well, they didn't have a big history about us and what we were able to do. They didn't know what they had, basically. They just had some guys up there. They didn't know the musicians that they had. Like, the world doesn't know how good these guys were.
Wow.
But,
okay, yeah. Thank you.
That's what we're trying to actually get the message out, Jenna, is that everyone in this band has such accolades over 30 years, and it's like, you know, it really should be known, you know, that we're doing that. So, you know, we're kind of making the rounds and as far as getting the interviews in and then making sure people know that, you know, hey, you know, this we're not just a novelty. We really play. And I mean, these guys really play, okay?
Wow. Well, we really appreciate you coming on our show.
No.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, let me go to, I want to go to Officer Crenshaw next. No, I'm sorry. Let me go to Timon Ship.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Hey, you know, all the best to you. I love music. I can see you guys play everything, R&B, jazz, everything. I know you do. I mean, it's just like, especially all the people that you said that you played with, that is amazing. And it's just really always good to sit around and talk to artists. I mean, I'm an artist myself, so, you know, it's good to listen to musicians talk, you know, and we're all connected in so many ways and know that you guys are doing everything. You're producing and you're writing and you're playing for everybody and you've kept yourself busy even through the pandemic. So all the best to you, man. Good, great, great job.
Thank you,
man.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Wow. And now I want to go ahead and switch it over to Officer Crenshaw. I believe you're here too.
Yes, I'm here and appreciate you guys for showing up. I mean, to hear your side of it is great. And all the musicians that you've played with, I want to get to the point. Shut up, Mike. I want to get to the point.
I didn't say nothing.
You
didn't say nothing. Shut up, Mike. Mike didn't say nothing. Shut up.
I want to get to the point where Sexual Chocolate gets the accolades that Mick Jagger gets, because I want to be able to lose my virginity to you guys as well.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Well, we know.
Okay.
Well, sir, Crenshaw, you know what? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, we actually are, you know, we're planning on doing a reunion, and the guys are all for it, and we're just going to take our time and bring out, you know, everybody's great writers and great musicians, so. And you know, what we do is really a fusion of things, and it's like the kind of music that we do. You know, we just wanted to do something different. And at this point, after 30 years, we think that you know we're gonna put a little bit of everybody's
case that they have, because like Carl has a band, like I said, Melvin has a band, so Jeff is doing his own music. Tori, who I think is having a little problem getting on the phone because he's running a bar in Oklahoma right now, and it's called the Juice Lounge, and he's basically the guitar player for Morris Day and the Time.
Yes.
So,
oh, wow.
So, yes, he is. I mean, like I said, this is a melting pot, you know, a gumbo recipe of cats that really, you know, have done a lot and are still doing it. And, you know, we plan on doing something really special with the Sexual Chocolate platform and get people to know what we can really do.
Well, I love the fact that
they're not mentioning it in the movie.
Right.
I guess they want to still keep us a secret.
I don't know why, but they want to keep us a secret, you know, that we are. But, you know, we're trying to get our name out there. We got a couple of things. We got the original Sexual Chocolate Band on Instagram, the original Sexual Chocolate Band on Facebook as well. So we're trying to get it out there, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that there's no limits musically to what we can do, because the guys that I play with, these guys right here, can stack up against anybody, and I'm saying it on public radio, and you can put me on CNN, and I say it there too.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know what? Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm listening.
No. I mean, and like Jeff said, that's the passion in his voice is a lot. Because, you know, we go back even further than the movie. So, you know, we have a lot of history. So I tell you this much, you're going to find out about that history in the next platform with that we're going to put together.
Outstanding.
For sure.
Okay, so my question is, how was this overlooked for you guys not to be in the credits of either movie? How was that possible?
This is Jeffrey, but when we first did it, of course, I had no idea. We had no idea, because when he first came to me and asked me to do it, it was just, you know, I was a production assistant walking around around all the scenes, so it was just part of my job to do whatever was needed to be done. So I did not know, had no idea on who would, that it would become what it became. So after we did it, it was done, you know, and I didn't really know to say, you know, you guys won't give us credits on the movie or any of that. But because they asked us, like they say, looked for us and seeked us out, I figured that they would give us enough respect, being that people requested us to be back in the movie again, I figured that they would at least give us individual credits about our participation in this band. But it got overlooked because I just thought it was going to be something that happened that way, because, you know, some of us are union band members, and that's the things that they're supposed to do. And for it to not happen, I didn't know it until they told us that it wasn't there.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't know it. I'll be honest. I didn't even know it wasn't there until I saw the damn movie. So, like, I said, again?
Again, right.
Yeah. It's not funny. You're right. OB said it's not
right.
Funny. Well, and, you know,
hey, Michael.
At this point,
well,
it's
welcome to the world of entertainment.
We're always trying to maintain our
nonprofit status. You know, that's so they're just helping us maintain our nonprofit status.
That's crazy.
successfully.
But as we're talking, I'm trying to extend the time of the show because there's so much more I'd like for us to talk about and try to get it in. We got 10 more minutes, but they don't want to give me more time. I don't know why, but I want to see if I can work that out. Okay, so we didn't know about that as far as the credit in the first one. Now the second one. Let me ask you guys something, and I know we really needed more time about this question, but –
making the movie. Now, fortunately, I was in a movie long time ago called Freaky Friday, a Disney movie. There was a scene with a marching band. I was in the marching band, and we had to go up there, and it took from 7 a.m. that morning to 5 p.m. to do 10 minutes worth of the movie. How long did it take for you guys to do that scene, and was it really hard to not laugh? And how many takes did it take to finish the whole scene in the movie? In both of them, in fact, the first one and the second.
Well, Bob, I'm going to
go ahead, Carl. Why don't you say
Bruce, you go ahead.
Okay, no, I was just going to say, I mean, it's like any movie situation, it usually takes long. It was a full day, and we did a few takes and a few more takes and a few more takes. And, you know, I thought that, you know, it was really great that they gave us, you know, the time to really to perform the songs and the song and keep continuing the you know, the takes. But at the same time, you know sometimes a lot of the production company doesn't really know how it's going to turn out. You know what I'm saying? Till you get to the cutting floor. And I think at one point, at least for me, I think they really saw that, hey, we can't mess this up. But obviously some I don't want to say the intern or a contractor, I don't know who messed up our names and not getting it on there. But, I mean, we are looking into it. I mean, because it's really sad because, you know, if anything with this movie or with this franchise, it's known that Spectre Chocolate was one of the primary icons of the movie. So
right.
It doesn't really make sense. But you know what? You know, one thing's for sure. We're going to let God handle it, and we're going to handle it as well. So that's all we can do.
But to answer your question, it took a whole day. It took a whole day of back and forth all day.
Yeah, it did.
And it usually does because, yeah, a lot of times the director or they don't really know what they want, so let's get a lot of footage so that when we get to the editing floor, we can move things around. You know, it's like it's like us in a recording studio. And they probably end up taking the first one. It's like we'll record a song 18 times and say, "Let me hear that first one." Oh yeah, that's the one.
Don't know what they want.
Exactly.
And it's funny, Mike. So it's funny, Michael. We actually shot everything, and the wedding party wasn't even there. That was all us.
Really?
That whole wedding party, the way they had the whole wedding party with Eddie and everybody, they weren't even there in the scene. We were actually just shooting us. So
that was just separate, so they edited it. Right, they splashed in there where it looked like everybody was there. Again, if you guys got any noise in the background, please put yourself on mute because it's definitely...
I don't know who that is.
Anybody... Like I say, which Jay King has always said, and I take it from him, is that where if you don't hear it, it must be you. So there we go. That's much better. And I want to say this to you guys. If you got a few more minutes, I know we have about 6 minutes left. The broadcast over live stream is going to go, but everybody who's still here on the line and through, if you guys don't mind, spend just another 5 or 10 minutes with us.
No problem.
For you people who are listening through the live stream, excuse me, the broadcast is going to end on your end. We just want to go over a couple of more questions or comments. For you folks who are on the phone line, if you have any questions or comments for our guests, please hit the number one now so I can open up your mic, and you could chime in with your questions or comments at this moment in time. We're talking to Sexual Chocolate from Coming to America.
He got that time in
on that. Another thing that we got to experience, Michael, which was really fun, was the lunchroom with Tracy Morgan. That was that was the highlight of the thing for me. You know, I was downstairs and it was lunch break, and Bruce texted me and said, "Hey, get up to the lunchroom. Tracy Morgan's up here." Tracy Morgan was holding court with his Bluetooth device for these mm-hmm. young, you know, 20-something-year-old black kids. You know, he was teaching them about Jimi Hendrix and about the electric guitar, and it was hysterical. At one point, he looks at the whole lunchroom and he says,
I bet you I could do Michael Jackson Beat It guitar solo note for note.
He played air guitar.
He proceeds to play air guitar to Michael Jackson Beat It.
Uh-huh.
which I actually have on video. I have a recording of that. So keep your eyes peeled for that on YouTube. It's really hysterical.
Please do, and we are about to on this end. We're about to go live on this end. But let me ask you another question, which I'm glad that you brought that up. The kingdom of Zamunda, or the interior of it, was filmed at Rick Ross's house, correct?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, but we weren't in any of those scenes. But yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so the scenes that you guys did were filmed here in Atlanta area, or was it along with
the
rest of
the Tyler Perry studio?
Tyler Perry's place in Atlanta.
Wow, okay. See, Atlanta's getting all that good publicity for motion pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is, and that's great. Love to see where the tax dollars or the money is going to, because I don't see it on the streets, but anyway. I know.
Okay. Start a movement, Mike. Hey, Mike, you got a platform, start a movement.
Hey, you know what I'm saying. So I'm kind of curious about that. But so what's the future for you guys with the pandemic going on and everything? And, of course, I've talked to many other guests, and, of course, this has made the touring stop. But I see a lot of artists now, which our guest Raheem Devon was just on. He said that he's starting to do some shows, some drive-in shows and everything. And, you know, for the main artists, that's one thing. But for the working musicians,
right.
You know, it hits them harder. I know a lot of cats, but you guys know, like a bunch of bass players and drummers and everything, like yourselves, where the work just stopped. What are your plans for the rest of this year as the concert season is starting to build? Summertime is coming. Are there any gigs that you guys are looking at doing soon with any other artists or as a group? This year?
Oh yeah, we plan on doing festivals. There's some talks, and the main thing we want to do is really get into the studio and record our music and our give all of the accolades to the musicians that were in this movie a chance to kind of express their own material, and we're going to do as a group.
Okay. Real quick, I want to say to all you people who are listening and everyone who's been listening on the online show, thank you for tuning in. The online will in a few seconds. We're going to continue the conversation for a few more minutes, and we'll get back with you. And so we're going to, you know, keep it going here for the people who are on the phone line and in the chat room. All right. So thank you guys for listening to us online. We'll see you next week here on the GS. We'll be back next week. See you then. So as we continue, got to say bye to them.
Gotcha.
So you guys are looking forward to doing some stuff in studio soon?
Yeah, we got to do some studio stuff. You know, we got virtual stuff that we can possibly do. You know, we have places to be able to do it. I have a place in L.A. called 8th Avenue Sound that we can do a podcast or some virtual concerts there when the guys want to. And, you know, there's always sessions and things like that that are starting to open up a little bit more. So the work is slowly starting to come in. But, you know, I'm hearing about these drive-in concerts, and I know somebody on the ground floor of that. So hopefully we'll be able to get involved into any of the circuits that are putting some stuff out there. We'd love to jump on board on that.
My
stuff is starting to happen in April. I'm going to be, I got a handful of gigs that are starting to happen. Like we're doing a place out in Tahoe that we do, you know, that holds about, it generally holds about 600. And I think we're doing three nights where they're doing two shows a night, but only 100 people. So we're doing that
in April, and then I'm going down to Florida and doing a couple of festivals down there. So things are starting to happen. The summer's starting to ramp up a bit.
Tell them your Instagram, Carl. Tell them your Instagram.
Oh, Carl Denson's Tiny Universe.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's my Instagram and Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? I look forward to seeing the music back on stage. We had a few weeks back, we had Ron DeVoe of BBD New Edition on, and he said the same thing. He's looking forward to doing shows. Because, see, a lot of times, unfortunately, folks think that artists just perform here in the States. No, they go overseas, too. And so that's
right,
a lot of
right.
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they travel. Yeah. You guys probably know Cornelius Mim, bass extraordinaire.
Yeah,
I've known Corn for years.
I just did a recording session with him last week.
I'm sorry?
I just did a recording session with him last week.
Yeah, awesome cat.
Yeah.
You know, awesome cat.
Yeah, Corny's cool.
He's really cool. You know, he comes from back in the day of the group was called Keys with Darren and Keys. I'm sorry, with Thomas and Derek Oregon. You know,
Derek and Tommy Oregon. Booker was in the band. Ray Silas, Rex Silas.
Right. Rex Silas and also. Yep, Kipper Jones, yep. All those cats, you know, great artists, great musicians.
Oh, yeah, we know all of them. We know everybody.
We actually grew up with them. We all grew up together in L.A. I mean, we go back, I don't know if you remember this, or you may not, but there was a radio station called K-Ace.
K-Ace, yes, I do. Look, hold on a minute. I just turned 59 yesterday. I remember K-8. I lived in L.A. And do you remember Dee Dee Maxey? Remember Dee Dee Maxey?
Oh, yeah. I remember Kevin Fleming. I remember all of the guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Dee Dee unfortunately, took her life, unfortunately. Yeah, that used to be my girl. We used to kick it. So, yeah, I know K-8. K-A-C-E. Aces, back to back.
What?
Aces Live, a full deck. They had it hooked up.
Well, the Battle of the Bands. The Battle of the Bands was where we were T's and our band Kush did it too. And you know, we did a lot of the Open Festival. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I played in one of those Battle of the Bands. I'm trying to remember what park it was. But I played in one of them, and the band I was in was called the Michael James Band. And what was crazy is that there was three members named Michael, and the keyboard player, his last name was James. So we just called it Michael James Band, and everybody would say, "Who's Michael James?" None of us.
What's your
drum.
Drum. Oh,
nice. Yeah, I'm a drummer.
All right. Oh.
Yeah,
for you, brother. I love it.
You know my boy out there, Sonny Emery?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You know my partner out there. His name is Sonny Emery.
No, not familiar.
You're not familiar with Sonny Emery?
You're not familiar with Sonny E?
No, see, I'm here in Georgia, so the era that you're talking about. I don't know him. I'm not familiar. Okay. Yeah, like I said, I knew Thomas and Derek and all those cats, you know, from back in the day.
Well, his last gig, Michael, was with Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay.
Sonny Emery. So he played back
with he's with Bruce Hornsby right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's with Bruce Emery. And actually, Jeff discovered Sonny.
Hmm.
Wow. No,
him, Duke, him, you know,
I met Sonny through
Indougal Chandler.
Yeah.
Indougal Chandler. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, that's how I met. I met Sonny.
Yeah, Jeff.
Okay.
Jeff
okay.
and Indougal were best of friends. Yeah, and he met Sonny through him.
Yeah, when Sonny moved to LA for the first time, he lived with me.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. It's amazing all these great artists.
You play with Sonny, right? Mel. Is Mel still on?
Huh?
Hey, Mel, didn't you play with Sonny as well?
Yeah. Sure,
oh, man,
yeah.
Me and Sonny toured with Lee Ritenour for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Sonny is all over the place.
Okay. No, yeah.
Sonny's the truth. I mean, we did at least 4 years with Lee, you know? So, yeah, he's – Yeah, if you live in ATL and you're a musician, you at least got to know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned –
So look him up.
Look him up, man.
You'll be like,
wow.
Yeah.
He'll pin your head. When you mention Lee Ritenour, it's so funny when you listen to which since I got you guys here, I got to ask you this question though. But when you mention Lee Ritenour, the first thing which I love all his music, but the one song you hear all the time you go into a store is Strawberry Letter 23.
Wow.
Right?
Uh-huh.
22.
Yeah.
But people don't realize that solo is actually Lee Ritenour.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Ritenour, think
you mean
George
on
Johnson,
the, on, the, on the Brothers Johnson?
During that time, man, Lee, and that's the beauty of playing with these old school cats. During that time, man, Lee was pretty much in the studio nonstop with Quincy Jones. So anything Quincy Jones does, Lee was probably on guitar on it. So there's a lot of stuff that I listened to, and I didn't know Lee was actually the guitar on the session until we were in Europe touring, and a fan brought LPs to the show for Lee to sign. And this cat had five crates of LPs that I'm serious. And Lee just kind of sat at the table and looked at the guy like, are you serious? And this guy had five crates of albums that Lee had played on. And he wanted him to
buy
them all.
About 75 albums in each crate. Roughly 175 albums in each crate.
How many did he sign, Melvin? How many did he sign?
Yeah.
Lee,
did he sign any of them?
Did as much as he could. Yeah, Lee did as much as he could until his security guy said, okay, that's enough. And, I mean, we all just kind of looked at him like, are you serious? And, I mean, he wheeled him in. And, the Stanley Turrentine, you name the artist Lee had played on, and this guy wanted them all signed. And, yeah, so Lee got to make it straight, too. And his security said, stop. Okay, that's enough.
That, you know what? At that point, that's when Lee Ritenour needs to have a stamp that says Lee Ritenour and just stamp each album.
Yeah.
Or better yet, hand the stamp over to him and be like, look, you stamp it yourself. But let me ask you guys this question here, because I do ask this from some of the guests. When you're in a store, you're shopping, buying stuff, and here's stuff playing that you played on, right? And not only hearing it, but you see somebody on the aisle or whatever in the store singing along with it or dancing to it because you're the drummer, you're the bass player. How does that make you feel?
It makes us feel not as old as we are. it helps roll the clock back a little bit, make you feel a little bit relevant for a second, you know, and not so 64 years old.
That's funny. I feel like mostly that, you know, I'm glad I'm making somebody happy. That's kind of more how I go with it. I'm glad I'm part of making somebody feel good today.
Yeah, I have more of a feeling like, okay, after it's sort of like the late great Chick Corea just passed away, right? And but he left a legacy of music, and for me, it's the legacy. It's always about the legacy.
Right.
I feel great, but I want to leave a legacy for my kids because I have kids. For my kids to because I don't ever want it to be a situation where someone walks up and say, that was your dad on bass, and have them say anything other than he was a great human being, a great musician. It's about legacy for me.
Right.
No, that's killing. That's cool.
That is cool. That is cool. I've always asked that question
we're still listening to people that we idolize who have been long since.
Exactly, right.
Music matters.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I was just curious about when you hear you know your songs in the store or you know, the songs that you performed on it, you see people singing along with it or dancing to it, especially a drummer or whatever, or emulating the keyboard line or the guitar line, you know, because people will be like, you know, along with the guitar line, you know, or whatever that keyboard part was, or the drum, you know, people do that. And have you ever ran across it? You'd be like, wow, they have no clue that's me, but I'm enjoying watching them emulate what I did 20-30 years ago or so, you know. So I had to ask that.
It's always nice for me. Every once in a while somebody will text me or something and be like, oh man, I'm listening to you right now on Spotify. You know, you just popped up on my on my Spotify playlist. You know, that's always rewarding, and especially when it's something really random that I haven't thought about or heard for a long time. That's always nice.
Right,
it's really good now because we live in the video age, right? So people are watching you on YouTube and making really great comments. So that always makes you feel good that you're with people, you know.
Exactly. That's good because be like, that's true because when they say like, man, I love that drum opening, but they don't know it's you. But you know, but some people do their research and try to find out who it is. And for me, when I was growing up, I always read my albums, which thank God I have a bunch of them still, and I still have a record player, but I always love to read the album cover from, you know, front to back, even look at the trademark and the copyright, copyright.
Hey, Michael, and guess what? Guess what? They had the credits on it, too, didn't they?
Correct, right, exactly. They had the credits.
You know, that's, that's one of the greatest
in fact,
damn point. What the hell happened?
And they used to spend money. Now, here's the thing. They used to spend money and not have that little white paper sleeve to have the album in. They actually had a sleeve inside that put the credits and even a photograph. You know, they used to spend money. You know, right, that's true.
Yep. And
you don't
lyrics.
See that.
And lyrics.
There you go.
I think that's why the kids are going back to vinyl now. You know, I think that was one of those things that sitting and listening to a record and having artwork and reading it and, like, that was a big deal. And I think that's why vinyl's becoming popular again.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember, look, the Ohio Players. I used to buy the Ohio Players album. But I used to buy the Ohio Players album for the song. It might be one great song on it that was on the radio, but I just love to open it up because they had great pictures. But anyway, move on.
Yep.
You know what I mean by
great
pitch.
And by the way, Michael, I wanted to also tell you that Jeffrey came up with a phenomenal idea. We're going to probably want to run it by the guys, but we're looking to get involved with a nonprofit charity that helps musicians, especially the ones that are homeless. And think we're gonna start putting something together for that because you know again through this whole pandemic, imagine some of the people that were homeless before the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened and nowhere to go, and so we're gonna start focusing on helping the musicians that even some of the musicians that we played with and even some famous musicians are in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna really look at that. That charity angle to help musicians again, and because you know that was one thing that I felt was really horrible with the pandemic is that all the musicians that we know, plenty of them, weren't able to perform or play to make their money, to make their livelihood, so
and take care of their families, right?
Exactly.
Take care of their family, right?
Yeah.
That is important.
Yeah,
you know what? Well,
I talked to.
No, go ahead, sir.
No, I had talked to a good friend, Steve Ferrone, the drummer, and, you know, he's in New York now.
Really?
He was just telling me, you know, it's really, really bad. A lot of his friends who were, you know, doing major tours, he said they're really having a hard time now. So this charity thing is meaningful and necessary.
Hold on a minute. You said Steve Ferrone, the only black man in the average white band.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Think about that.
Wow, that's
the only black man in the average. Well, I don't know now. I mean, they might have added a few black guys, you know, here and there. But right, he was the drummer for average white band. Yeah, awesome.
Well, you know, you always this is what the story. I can tell Shaka. We were doing a gig out in San Bernardino, and you know, we had this really good session drummer. You know, white guy on drums and really good drummer. Man, we got halfway through the show, and it was just a two-show night. Shaka said, "Tim Melvin to come here. I need you to come to the back." I walk in the back, and Shaka says, "Melvin, now, the drummer's good. I mean, he sounds really good, but I need a nigga on the drum." She said, "I mean, I love him, but I need somebody black on the kid." So I would argue that the average white band needed a brother on that bottom half to make it do what it do.
So they can pick up them pieces because of the case. Shaka knows. Shaka can play drums too. I've seen Shaka play drums before. Shaka knows how to play
that was his last gig. He was a session drummer, but he just said, you know, and she ended up with Alvino Bennett from LTD, and Alvino just came in and did what he did. But she like, "I need a Negro on this kit."
Wow. Now let me ask you this question. Now I might be wrong, but Shaka back in the Rufus days. Wasn't the drummer and Rufus and her a couple back then, right?
Yeah.
So that tells you why she wanted a black man on the drums because, huh?
Wasn't that Andre?
Andre, right. It was Andre. Yep.
It
was Andre Fisher.
Andre Fisher.
J.R., John Robertson ended up in the band later because he was playing with C-Win. Or he was doing a lot of stuff with Rob Timmerson, and once Quincy got him in the studio, Tony made them catch it. Oh, because JR came in the studio and put that other thing on it, and they were at that particular time they were doing a lot of work for Quincy Jones, so he ended up being a member of Rufus later on. But it was Andre Fisher.
It was Andre Fisher, right? See, that's why she wanted a brother on the drums. I want another Andre back there.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Wow.
I always listen to
AWB, the Face to Face. It's a double album that they recorded, and Pick Up the Pieces Live. And that solo that he does, that Steve Ferrone does. Pick Up the Pieces is so phenomenal. It's so out of this world. That is just so awesome. Great drummer,
fantastic drummer. I love him. Love listening to him. That's how, you know, we back growing up, that's how we learned how to learn what feel is. You know, you listen to drummers like that, if you just emulate that, you're gonna your music is always going to feel good.
Well, your drums all your drums now have names like name any drum company now that makes drum machines, and those are your drummers now. Okay, name any drum machine company, and those are your drummers now. You know.
I had a 10-month run with Steve. One hand in a week. How many times he hit the toms? He was so into that box and nothing else mattered. I mean, literally, it's like it's like putting on some old slippers because his pocket was always in there, and you could literally count on one hand in the course of a week the amount of times he'd hit the toms. So that just told you how much he was into that pocket.
You know what? And you know, I don't want to hold you guys forever because we've gone over. But I love this conversation. But I got to share a quick story since we mentioned Lee Ritenour. some of you guys might remember, in Studio City, there was a place called The Baked Potato.
Anybody remember that?
And I remember on Tuesday night, they would have, and this lineup was just so phenomenal, the first Tuesday of every month, they would have Lee Ritenour, Patrice Rushen, Harvey Mason on drums.
Harvey Mason.
Yep, it was Harvey Mason on drums, Abe Laborio, and who else was it? There was one other cat. I can't remember. Yeah, Abe was on bass. But I can't remember the fifth person.
Right.
Say that again, who?
Was it Alex Acuna on
Alex, yep. Alex Acuna was there. Every first Tuesday of the month, they would be at the Baked Potato. And I remember getting out the car, and I see Harvey Mason, because that's who I came to see, right, a drummer. And he had his daughter with him. And, you know, they get there. But they did a version of Earth, Wind & Fire's Getaway that just blew me away. And I was in a band at the time. The keyboard player, you guys might know him. His name is David Irvin. His father was DeFosco, D. Irvin, right. Yeah, we used to be in a band together back in California. David Irvin played with Patti LaBelle and a bunch of others. But anyway, but they do a version of Earth, Wind & Fire's Getaway, and Harvey Mason's drumstick breaks. And this cat, you know how you have on the floor tom, you got your stick bag hooked there, right? His stick breaks. Huh? He takes his left hand and does a full drum roll with his left hand while his right hand is reaching for another stick. And David and I look at each other like, did you see that shit? I'm like, I wish I had a video camera.
Yeah.
He did a full drum roll around the entire kit. I mean, it was just like a flash. I'm like, did he just do that with one hand? It was so amazing. It really was. Those are real.
That's what you miss from a live drummer.
Yep.
Those are the things that you miss from the live drummer. Back in the day, I could listen to a record and go like, okay, I see this record was done on the East Coast, because you can tell when Steve Gadd was playing and you can tell when Harvey Mason was playing. If Harvey Mason was playing, it was probably down on the West Coast. You know, drummers had a personality. You can tell by their snare sound, the way they played, their feel. Now it's just a hi-hat and maybe a kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well,
so,
Harvey had that open. He had that open hi-hat sound, that type sound. You know what I'm saying? He had that kind of like a loose hi-hat sound, I guess. It was kind of loose.
Yeah.
His hi-hat was, you know, pretty much loose on a lot of his stuff, which, you know, I've studied his work, and just the way he worked that hi-hat, you know, was just awesome. But, I've never looked into the East Coast, West Coast thing as far as drummers, but you may have a point on that. I have to look at that.
Yeah, they sound different.
I always thought of it as West Coast Quincy Jones, who would have Harvey and JR, and East Coast, which is Arif Mardin, who would have Steve Ferrone and Gadd playing. So you have two different producers, and New York was always raw. I mean, just the way they produced. But that, you know, producers, that's the producer thing. But, Harvey was just, you know, well, it's Quincy, right? Quincy didn't play an instrument on the records, but he sure knew how to get the right cast.
I know, man.
Right.
That's right.
Because he would play on, I mean, Harvey would play on, I mean, on Brothers Johnson. Harvey would play on George Benson stuff. And so when you heard those drums, you knew that was Harvey Mason. You knew that's Harvey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. Back then, that was part of learning how to play music. That's part of it.
Mm.
You could literally listen to the radio if you had really good ears and was very anal and just wanted things to be right. You can be a good musician just listening to the music that was on. I can't do that no more. I can't listen to the radio and learn anything.
Right, because it's all drum machines.
It's drum machines.
And we're in the video age now. Everybody's looking at cats going 9,000 miles an hour on YouTube.
Right.
They don't even appreciate that groovy like that anymore until they hear it. When they hear it, they turn their head and look at you like, who's this man playing this shit?
Right.
I said, yeah,
and I hope
that's right.
Well, I want to say this. I hope I didn't lose the rest of Kush, a.k.a. Sexual Chocolate, that is here.
Now we're really? Talking drugs. Everybody hung up.
Oh, okay. I apologize. We went over. But I appreciate you guys hanging in here and sharing these this knowledge. And I see a few of my co-hosts are still here. I appreciate you guys. If you have any questions or comments, we're still on talking. And true enough, all this is being archived. So the live stream, as far as online, has ended. But this will be recorded. This continues to record. And then I will share this on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. The continuation behind that, so because it never stops recording everything that we have. But all my co-hosts there that are still here, do you have any questions or comments based on the stories that we've been talking about? Do you have anything to share into it? I don't want to leave you out. Officer Crenshaw.
Well, I just enjoy listening to everybody go back and talk about the history of all the different players and bands, and you know, so I'm just really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to maybe. I guess you guys said you're gonna be trying to bring something on Zoom or live, so
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Isn't it amazing how this whole wealth of knowledge never got
tapped? Come up to us and tell us hell. Hello, please.
Hey, but isn't it amazing how all of this wealth of knowledge that we're speaking, I mean, off air, isn't it amazing how this wealth of knowledge and talent that we're speaking of and that we've experienced never got tapped by the executives on the movie? It's like, why wouldn't you give the credit to all of these iconic musicians? You know, crazy.
Yeah. Here's the thing. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, and we really appreciate it too.
Yeah, I thought you guys